Now, tonight, I'm thinking of two books that were written by an attorney by the name of David Gibbs. How many have heard of David Gibbs? He preached a great message that changed my life. Why do something great? Do the impossible. Do the impossible. And for that message, I was challenged to give the gospel every day until somebody prayed to receive Christ. And I heard that at pastor school somewhere, I forgot where it was, 2008, right in there, 2006, 2000, thereabouts. And he wrote two books that I'm thinking of tonight. The two books that I'm thinking of were written by David Gibbs on the life of Jack Hiles. And the books were called, part one and part two, The Science of the Christian Life. How many have heard of that? The Science of the Christian Life. All right. Just not many. All right. Some of you. Let's do that again. How many have heard the books? I don't think you're awake back there. The Science of the Christian Life. Raise your hand. Maybe I didn't say raise your hand. All right. All right. That's a little bit more. The Science of the Christian Life. And Dr. Hiles developed biblical formulas to live your life successfully. And he practiced and taught those formulas to his people. He was a winner in life. And you know what? I believe that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for our sins, didn't die for us to be losers. He died for us to be winners. He died for us to be overcomers. And he died so that in every situation and circumstance in life, you can be on top side. You can be on top side. And I believe it's the lie of the devil to tell us that we can't win. Now, we have taught in our Sunday school, and we did this morning, that the earthly Joshua was to lead the people of God through the Jordan River, which stood up in a heap, and they went down into it and then up on the other side into the promised land. And earthly Joshua was told these words: every place where the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. And Joshua means the Lord saves. Who in the New Testament has the name Yehoshua? And we know who that is. You know who that is. It's Jesus. He is our heavenly Joshua. And Jesus died and rose again to bring us not across the literal Jordan River into the promised land, but to bring us through death, burial, resurrection with him to eternal life and to be seated now, listen, with him in heavenly places. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you may be here in your mortal body on earth, but you are spiritually seated with Christ in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And as such, you know, he says in Ephesians 1 through 3, you're seated, sit. In Ephesians 4 and 5, he says, walk. In Ephesians 6, he says, stand. Now, when you walk in the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit because you're already victorious over sin, over death, over Satan, and you're seated with him in heavenly places. And so the Spirit is given you so you can walk according to the wealth that you have. You're not poor. You're rich in Christ. You're spiritually rich. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And so God wants us to walk. And we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. If we are walking in the Spirit and if we are standing with the armor of God, Satan can't defeat us. The world can't defeat us. The devil can't defeat us. Why? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so how do we get defeated? Well, we get defeated by not reckoning upon or calculating our wealth. We get defeated by listening to the lies of the devil, and he talks us out of our joy. He talks us out of our peace. He talks us out of our power that we have. As we say, greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. So tonight, I just want to say, Christ didn't die, be buried, and be raised from the dead, so that you would live a life of poverty. I'm talking about spiritual poverty. That you wouldn't live a life of defeat. I'm talking about victory that God gives us. And Jack Hiles said, he said, have a victorious day. Find out what you did to have a successful day and keep on repeating it. Find out what you did on that good day and keep on repeating it. And that was part of the teaching of the science of the Christian life. And so tonight, I want to preach a message on the science for your success. The science for your success. And I'm going to take this message from the life of King David. And it's very simple. There's three things I want to say. If you'll turn, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel and chapter number 5. And as you're turning there, the verses are 22 through 25, but I want to read by way of introduction verse 17 through 21 to give you the background. So go to 2 Samuel 5, I'll read it verse 17, and I'll go through verse number 21. Here's what it says. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And that is what happened. And then notice verse number 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Bel-Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Bel-Perazim. Now let me ask you a question. Did David win or lose against the Philistines? Say it out loud. Win. He did not lose. And when David was following God's formula for success, he won. And we're always to win. We're more than conquerors. He always leads us to victory as we follow his formula, his science for living successfully. Do you always do that every day? Unfortunately, you don't. And when you do it, you get beat by the devil, or you get beat by your own flesh, amen? Or you get beat by the world or deceived by the world. But God wants us more and more, listen, to win, to succeed. He doesn't want you to be a failure. The devil wants you to fail. Your flesh wants you to fail. The world wants you to fail as far as living for God so they can justify the fact that their lives are sinful and they don't want somebody convicting and living a life that condemns their way of living. And so the world wants you to fail, but God says, no, I'm for you. God says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The world is against you. The flesh is against you. The devil is against you. But thank God Almighty tonight, God is for you. If you're a believer, God is for you. He is not against you. And the Father's for you. The Son is for you. And the Holy Spirit is for you. And you say, the devil's against me. What are they compared to God, you see? And so tonight, I'm talking about the science for your success. And here we had David. He is anointed to be the king over all Israel. And right away, the enemy, the Philistines, who are the greatest enemy of the Israelis. By the way, they're like the modern day Palestinians. Amen. Modern day Hamas and all of that. They're the inveterate enemy from within. They live right in the midst of Israel. And right away when they heard that David had been anointed king, they came to seek David. They didn't come to seek his wisdom to follow him. No, they came to stop him. They came to stop him. And let me tell you, if you're having success for God, your enemies want to stop you. They do not want you to continue to have success for God, and they will come up against you. And if you're going to have success and live a successful Christian life, you're going to have to fight. Amen? You're going to have to win. You're going to have to overcome your opposition that will indeed come up against you. But I want you to notice what David did. He didn't just go out there and say, "They're going to fight me. God's anointed me. I'm God's man. Here we go." No. Notice what it says in 2 Samuel 5. And notice what it says at the last part of verse 17. When David heard of the Philistines, he heard of it. He went down to the hold. What does that mean? He didn't go up to fight them. He came apart to get along with God. And the Philistines also came and they spread themselves. They were ready to fight. But David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said, "Go up." But I want you to notice that that happened there. Now, I'm just saying, we can't live today on yesterday's victories. We can't live tonight on this morning's victories. The Christian life is moment by moment, and we need fresh victories. It's a fight. Amen? It is a fight. If you want to live and not die, if you want to live and not die, that means you want to fight. That's right. That means you want to struggle. That's right. If you don't have any struggles, you're dead. Amen? You look at a person in a coffin, they're laying there, they don't have any struggles. Not in this world. It's over for them in this world. But listen, you are here to fight. You are here to struggle. And those that have gone before you, they are cheering you on. They're cheering you on. I told Eric Rodriguez, he's been coming to the services since Reuben went to heaven. I said, and Marilla too. But I said to Eric, I said, "I believe you're doing your brother proud because they're cheering you on." You say, "Where do you get that?" In Hebrews, it says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're like in the stands. They're cheering you on. They want you to win. Do you believe that? The saints before want you to win? Yes, they want you to live for God. Do you believe God wants you to win? Jesus wants you to win? Absolutely. He's cheering you on. And so God wants you to have that success, but you've got to keep on facing fresh struggles every day. And you've got to learn certain biblical principles that will give you the formula for success, a science, if you will, for having a successful Christian life. By the way, God says in Joshua 1, verse 8, "This book of the law," I quoted that this morning, "this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt," what? "Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way," what? "Prosperous." Prosperous. God wants you to be prosperous. I'm not talking about health and wealth gospel. I'm talking about prosperous with principles of God's word. But it does apply to your body and healthy living. You talk about that. It does apply to finances, being a good steward of your finances. You give to get, to give again. God does want that. And he says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good" what? "Success." That's exactly right. That's a Bible word. And so tonight we're talking about the science, three things, the science for your success. And so when you use these formulas and you repeat them, and I'll give them to you tonight, just three of them, and you repeat them, then you have learned to master the science for your success in the Christian life. Now, here's the first one, very simple, that David had. First, you must learn to wait upon God. We saw that when the Philistines came up, David went down into the hole to get with God. David waited upon God, and you must learn that in your life. And we looked at that in verse 17 through 19, but now let's look at it again in verse 22 through 23a. And I'll read 22. It says there, and the Philistines came up yet again. There they are, at it again, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And verse 23, when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. Okay, so David inquired of the Lord. And notice that he inquired of the Lord. Now, it's very interesting to me that David was called the man after God's own heart. Why was that? Because David wanted to do God's will. David loved God. David depended on him. And he wanted to be yielded to God. I heard a man of God was driving in the desert, and he saw a tumbleweed in the wind. And he said, boy, I want to be as yielded to God as that tumbleweed is to the wind. I want to be that. That's a man that has a heart for God, you see. And that's a man that has success for God. And David had that. And David, you see, therefore, he kept inquiring of the Lord. And just before this, a while before this, there was a priest by the name of Abiathar. And when Saul was chasing David before he became a king, years before this, he killed Saul's Saul killed the priestly family because he thought they were helping David conspire against him, which was a bunch of baloney, but that's what he thought, and he killed the priestly family, and one survived by the name of Abiathar. And Abiathar brought the ephod, which had in it the Urim and Thummim, and he brought it to David as he was running from King Saul. And why did David love that? Because when he had that Urim and Thummim, he could ask God questions about his will, and God would give him specific answers. Now, nobody knows exactly how it worked, but the best I can tell, these stones actually lit up and printed out sentences that would give answers to the king when he asked for the will of God in any given situation. And when David got that, you see him constantly going to God and asking God. This is part of a formula for success that you need. By the way, you don't need to ask God if you should date an unsaved person. You don't need to ask God if you should get married to an unsaved person. There are certain things you don't need to ask God for, as we saw in Sunday school this morning. What you need to do is come to Sunday school. You say, why? To learn what the Bible says. What you need is to read your Bible every day to know what the Bible says, because we now have 66 books and we have it in the English language. Every word is the word of God, the will of God, as though God were spelling it out with the Urim and Thummim. And so we don't ask God for things that he's plainly written down in Scripture. What we do is ask God for the grace to do what he says there in the Bible. But we need that grace every day, and so forth and so on. And we'll talk more about that. But David asked God for what he should do against these people. You say, well, he just told him. The Philistines just attacked him. He just had asked God, and he just got a victory. Why not just do that over again? No, you see, David recognized that with every battle, every situation, we need fresh grace. We need fresh help, and we'll talk about that. The Israelites needed fresh manna every day. As I said, you can't live today on yesterday's victory. Each battle requires something fresh. Now listen, that means that if you're going to have a formula for success, you got to do what my methodical Bible study teacher said, Dr. Wendell Kempton. He said these words. He said, take time to be holy. He said, you'll never be holy in a hurry. I don't believe many Christians take time before they face their week, before they face their day, to get alone with God, to meet with God, to get grace from God, to get help from God, to wait upon God, you see, to get the strength that they need. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord, they're going to get that strength from God. And so that is a very key principle. I've mentioned before, I think it's fitting right here, when I was in high school, I remember going out for football, and I was very fast. Our track team, when I was my freshman year, we broke the record for the 440 relay. And very fast off the blocks, could run very fast off the blocks. And I remember in high school, the quarterback would call the play, give me the ball. And I wanted to use my speed to get to that line very quickly. And invariably, I went there so fast that I ran into some 300-pound lineman and went down. And I found out my speed was not being used in my favor because I was not waiting. What was I not waiting for? I wasn't waiting for the blockers who blocked these big linemen out of the way, because we had blockers on our side. Amen? You got to have an offensive line, right, Sarge? And we had blockers on our side, and they were blocking. But I wasn't waiting for my blockers. I was running smack dab into their defenders, and these guys on the line are much bigger than a halfback or a fullback. I mean, and I'm just saying to you, listen to me, you've got to learn to wait upon God for what He wants you to do, and wait upon God for what He has for you so that you can win. And David did this. David did this. Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. And David recognized that. He recognizes, I need God's help. I need God's grace. I need God's strength. And so I am going to wait upon God. Hey, I may have gotten the victory over the Philistines just very recently and did it a certain way. But no, I'm going to go back to God and get fresh help. And David took time to wait upon God before going out into the fight. Now, perhaps you've been running into some brick walls. Perhaps you've been going down to defeat lately in your life, against your flesh, against the world, against the devil. And the answer for you to have success is, number one, you must learn more to wait upon God for His help, for His grace. And we've been studying in Sunday school, and we've been studying about how God gave Joshua the plan to defeat the walls of Jericho, so the walls fell down because Joshua did it God's way. By the way, God's way may not make sense to you humanly, but listen, God's not going to put His wisdom through your wisdom. Right. You need to submit yourself to God's way of doing things. And so God gave Joshua his way of success, going around Jericho 6 times, and then the last day going around it 7 times. 6 days, once every day, 7 times the last day, and boom, when they shouted, the wall just fell down flat. Why? Because Joshua did it God's way. But now they went up against Ai, and it was a smaller city. His soldiers said, his general said, you don't need many soldiers, just take a few soldiers. We'll go in there and defeat that city. What were they doing? They were prideful. They were not depending on God. They didn't inquire of the Lord. They didn't pray to God and depend upon God. And when they went into battle, they were defeated because they did not realize they had sin in the camp because they weren't close to God. They were saying, wow, we got this victory at Jericho. We'll take it from here, God. We'll take the... Let me tell you, you're not going to succeed in business. You're not going to succeed in your Christian life. You're not going to succeed in marriage. You're not going to succeed in anything without you waiting on God, without you depending upon Him. And so I'm saying tonight, the first principle for success, or science of success, is you must learn, and I must learn, to wait upon God. Number two, you must get wisdom from God. Look at verse 19, first of all, of Joshua. I'm sorry, of 2 Samuel 5, 19 says, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And what did the Lord say? Notice this. "And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thine hand." That was verse 19. Now, I want you to notice in verse 22, they came up again. And look what happened in verse 23. You see the formula repeated. Remember we said, find out why you got success and keep repeating it. So what does he do in verse 23? Look at it. He says, "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." So now wait a minute. The first time the Philistines came up, God said, go up, go right at them, frontal attack. But now David says, no, don't do that. God told David, you go around behind them where the mulberry trees are growing, and that's where you're going to stage your attack. You see, David inquired of the Lord. He just didn't do it the same way. He went back and he inquired of the Lord. Let me say something to you. I believe God puts you in a position where you need to depend upon Him for each new challenge in your life. You see, I have found out God puts me in a place where I am uncomfortable. God puts me in a place where I am stretched and my faith is stretched. And I have to depend upon God for the finances in the church. I have to depend upon God for the strength to do His will and His work. I have to depend upon God for the wisdom that I need. Because you see, though I know the Word of God and I have a great deal of knowledge of Scripture, I've been studying this Bible for over 50 years. Wow, I've got knowledge of the Bible. But see, all that knowledge can be a detriment to me, because the question is, and here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is taking knowledge and applying it to any given situation so that you know what to do in that particular situation. In other words, wisdom is the ability to use all the knowledge you have of the Bible, and you need to know the Bible, to use it in a right way, to use it in a suitable way. And so my hardest thing as far as preaching and teaching is not having knowledge. I've got all kind of knowledge of the Bible. But it's, listen to me, it's choosing a text for right now. What is needed right tonight? What is needed this morning? And many times I have found out when I have prayed and sought God and waited upon God for wisdom, He's given me that text. And people will say to me, how did you know I was dealing with this situation in my life? Man, did you know about it? Did somebody tell you about it? No, I didn't know about it, but God knows about it. And God knows what you need in your life. And so when we go to God, He gives us the wisdom to use that knowledge in the proper way. And that is what God wants us to do. And so you must get wisdom from God. By the way, you must, in getting that wisdom from God, you must walk by faith. You must depend upon the invisible God. And that's where, if you fail, you will not succeed. If you fail to walk by faith. All right, take the disciples. I've shared this illustration. They were on the Sea of Galilee. They were in the boat. Jesus was in the boat with them. but he was sleeping. So there they are. Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and they have a windstorm come up, and the waves are going over these little boats, these little ships, and it was going to sink the ship, and they were ready to go down. And what did they do? Did they just say, well, Jesus is on the boat with us, everything's going to be fine? No, they freaked out. And they went to Jesus and they said, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care that we're going to perish? And they woke him up. And Jesus got up, and the Bible said he calmed the winds, and then he calmed the waves. And the waves were still sloshing around after he calmed the wind, but he calmed both of them. And then he turned to them in one of the Gospels, and he said this, how is it that you have no faith? Now, they had faith. They had faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. They trusted the Lord for their salvation. They had faith. They were saved people. But Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? What did he mean by that? Why don't you apply your faith in the invisible God to meet this situation? How is it that you're not applying your faith? And listen, to fail to apply your faith to go to God for wisdom that you need when you're going through a problem, when you're going through a challenge, when you're going through a trial, the failure to do that sets you up to fail. And you need to have that faith in God. You say, well, why does God do that? He wants to get the glory for giving you the victory. God doesn't want to share his glory with you or me. He wants to get the glory for himself. And the Bible tells us that faith glorifies God. We have to trust Jesus for our salvation. There's nothing we do. We trust him. And that faith glorifies God for providing us with salvation. And the same way in your Christian life, when you're facing these trials and you don't have the answer. Listen, it's not we're going to give David the glory because he was so smart, man. What a military strategist he was. Wow, he came up with all these plans and defeated the Philistines. No, he kept going to God. And he kept saying to God, Lord, I may be an experienced soldier. I may have fought as a captain for Saul. But listen to me. I know I need your wisdom. What do you want me to do in this situation? I am yielded to you. And by the way, that is a key to success. Wait upon God and be yielded to his wisdom that he gives you. And when you do that, you find out that you get the victory. David got it in both situations. But, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you're yielded to God, guess what? He gives you the wisdom you need. He gives you the wealth you need. He gives you the power you need. Our first pastor used to say that we are the junior partner. The Lord Jesus is the senior partner, and he gives us all these things that we need to win. But if you do it your way and you go on your own, then don't be surprised when you fall flat on your face. When you do your will, you must foot the bill. When you do his will, he foots the bill. I'm saying you must learn to wait upon God. And number two, you must get wisdom from God for each thing that you face. And that is the hard part in our lives. I think of James chapter 1. It teaches us if any man lack wisdom, he's talking about going through a trial in your life and a problem and a challenge. If any man lack wisdom, he said, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I've never seen God say, what are you coming to me again for? I thought you were smarter than that. I thought you were braver than that. I thought you were stronger than that. God doesn't do that. When I come to God, he loves it. The older I get, the more childlike I want to become. And the more childlike you should become. And the more dependent on God. But a lot of times people get older and God gives them some experience and God gives them some knowledge and they go, I can take it from here, God. I got this under control. No, you don't. You must wait upon God, and you must get wisdom from God for every situation. Two battles against the Philistines. One, he said, go right at them. The other, he said, go around behind them. And God had a different way for them to attack. And you need that. I remember just a few weeks ago, I was preaching here in church just before we wound up going to Florida. And I preached the message, what to do when you're in over your head. What to do? How many remember that message? What to do when you're in over your head? I certainly remember it. I didn't realize I preached that message that night. I went home that night and I went to sleep like I always do. And it was all from James. My wife came in and she said, honey, I think I need to go to the hospital. I said, what's wrong? And she said, I'm having excruciating, terrible, horrible pain. And when my wife says she's having pain, it is painful. She went through six childbirths without a tear, without crying, a brave soldier. And she was in excruciating pain. And took her to the hospital, and the hospital did not do any tests. The hospital gave some pain meds, and we went home that morning, and she had some pain meds. I went to the chiropractor and tried to get some help. We were scheduled to go to Florida. We went to, she was scheduled to go. She went to Florida, and little did I know what we were dealing with. I had no understanding. She got to my daughter's in Florida, and when she got to my daughter's in Florida, my daughter called me up later on. She said, what do I do? Mom is in excruciating pain. The pain meds had wore off. She's in excruciating pain. We thought we got some relief from the chiropractor. No. It was much more serious. And I said, take her to the emergency. Get her on an ambulance. Take her to the emergency. She took her, got her on an ambulance. They took her to the emergency. In that message, in James 1, the first point was when you're in over your head, you put it in the asset column. As a blessing. You put it in the asset. I didn't feel like this was an asset. I certainly didn't feel like it was a financial asset because of the hospital. I certainly didn't feel like it was an asset as far as the pain and all that we were going through. But you know what? By faith, I put that in the asset column. I said, God, you have the answer. I still don't have the whole answer to that. I do it by faith. And that's what we need to do. Count it all joy. And so we put that in the asset column because God's going to work out something in our life that he's going to work out for good. And the second thing was, it said, keep serving God patiently. And while we were down there in Florida for a couple weeks, she was admitted to the hospital. Day after day, she was in the hospital. They were giving her pain meds. They found out she had a herniated disc. They gave it injections to treat her, but that wasn't doing it. We were praying for wisdom. Number one, we're putting it in the asset column. Number one. Number two, we kept serving God patiently. I kept giving the gospel. People trusted Christ while we were down there. Kept serving God. Number three, I kept praying for wisdom. And as we got wisdom, we found out exactly what her problem was. She had a herniated disc, and they said, you're going to need surgery. You're going to need surgery on that. And I came to the point where I realized that's exactly what the need was. That's the last thing I wanted to do, but I realized God gave us wisdom that's what we needed. But I said, where should we get the surgery? God gave us further wisdom. No, get her back up north. Get her back up north. I left my car down there, got some wisdom, some good counsel, fly her back up, go with her. I got her back up here, and we got to a great hospital in Dixon City, Lehigh Valley Hospital. What a great hospital that was. What a great surgery they did. And you know what? We got wisdom from God. And then the last point of that sermon was don't be double-minded. Don't have faith in God and then change. I like what Brother Heil said. He said he's preaching one time, he the message, and he lost his points. He didn't know where he was. He said he felt like he wasn't getting it. So he just looked at his outline, and he just kept preaching. And when he was done with the message, a guy came up to him and said, I needed that. I'm glad you stuck with it and said what you needed to say. And I just decided I'm going to stay with faith. I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm not going to go by sight and by... No, I'm going to keep on applying what I've learned to this situation. And that's what we're doing right now. That's what my wife is doing right now. Thank God he gave her 5 hours of sleep last night and helped her. But we're trusting God and we're taking it a step at a time. What I'm saying is that God will give you wisdom. But you need to be yielded to him. You need to be listening to his word and waiting upon God. And then specifically asking God, how do I respond? What do I do in this situation? And he said, he'll give it to you liberally and he'll upbraid not. And he does that. And thank God he has been helping my wife and I through this trial. And the very message that I preached is what he's helping me and using in my life through that time. So it's important you be in church. It's important you hear the messages that God has. There's one more thing I want to say in the science of your success. You need to learn to wait upon God. You must get wisdom from God for every situation where you're challenged. And number three, you must win with God. You must win with God. And I want you to look at verse 24 and 25 of 2 Samuel. And I'll read it, chapter 5. It says, and let it be when thou hearest the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then shalt thou bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, and as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until I come to Gezer. Now listen, the first time he won, but it was a different way. He went directly at them. The second time, he won by going around behind them over against the mulberry trees. But that wasn't enough. He got to wait upon God. He got wisdom from God. But that wasn't enough. Listen to me. He needed God's help. He needed God's power. And he needed to win with God and to depend upon God. God has a will for your life. He has a what he wants you to do, but he has a when and a how that he wants you to do it. I think of Abraham. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a baby, and that baby's going to inherit the promised land. That baby's going to have great seed and great blessing. And through that baby, his offspring, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And that was great. Abraham knew what God wanted. But later on, when he went through a trial, he was getting older and didn't have the baby. His wife said, well, maybe you're going to have that baby through my handmaid. Maybe she needs to be the surrogate mother. And so Abraham didn't wait on God for how he was going to do it and when he was going. He knew what God wanted, but now not how and when. Listen, you need not only to know what God wants, but you need to realize God has a how he's going to do it and a when. And when God does it, it's always going to be according to faith, where you're going to have to depend upon God. And so what happened was that after he took Hagar, after he had Ishmael, which became a problem to him and to the Jewish people, after all that, God said, nope, it's going to be through your wife. And it's going to be when you're 100 years old. And it's going to be when she's 90 years old. When it's impossible for her to have a baby. It's going to be that way. That's going to be how it's going to be done. And what did they need for that? They needed to win with God's power. And if you do God's will and you submit to God's will, you are going to need God's power in order to accomplish that. And Abraham came to recognize that. And I want to say to you, don't think it's a surprising thing when you have a birth of a vision. God gives you a vision from his word and by his spirit. Listen to me. What he wants to do in and through your life. What he wants to do in and through our church. And don't think it's a surprising thing when you have a birth of the vision and then you have the death of your vision. And you hit a brick wall and you say, wait a minute, I saw what God wanted And it was so great and so wonderful, and I thought God would do it, but it's been a long time and he's not doing it. And the when becomes a stumbling block because God has taken too long. And perhaps you try to help God out because you need to realize God not only has a when of the vision for your life and for our church, but and for your family, but God has, listen to me, not only the when, but a how he's going to do it. And how is going to mean you're going to need his power. And you're going to need his ability. And so you're going to have to depend upon him for the accomplishment of the promise of God. And so that's what Abraham learned. And so he had a birth of a vision that he was going to have this baby. Then the death of the vision as Sarah got older and it became impossible. Then he tried to do it in his own flesh. No, that's not it. And then the fulfillment of the vision, which had to be done by God's way and by God's power. And that's what God is saying to you. If you're going to have success in fulfilling, listen to me, his hope for your life, his vision for your life, you must learn to wait upon God for your decisions. You must get wisdom from God for everything you do for him. And then you must win in cooperation with God in your life. And so the Bible said God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And by the way, that's why the disciples, when they were told to give the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the Jews came against the apostles, and the apostles had to wait upon God in the upper room for 10 days. And then God gave them the Holy Spirit in mighty power. And the rest is history. They went and took Jerusalem, and they took the Roman Empire. Listen, when God said to David, he said, go around behind the Philistines. That's the wisdom you need. But then wait until you hear a sound of a going or the wind in the tops of the mulberry trees. What did that represent? Now God is ready to go with you. God is ready to help you. And you go and win with God. I think of Donald Trump in the election. He won, but he wasn't ready, and America wasn't ready for the victory. He had to wait upon God for the second time, and then he got elected the second time. And you need the same thing. You need to wait upon God. And some people wait upon him, but when God shows them the what of his will, they tell God, I can take it from here. No. Here's the science of success. You must learn to wait upon God, get wisdom from God in all these situations, like David did, and then depend upon and work with God to win the victory. And you will see much success. I don't believe that we have to fail at any point in our Christian life if we follow God's formula for success through Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. Every eye closed.